Okay, does everyone have one of these? If you need one of these, raise your hand. Someone will make sure you get one. Most of my whole crew is out of town here right now. Sue and Dwayne, hope you guys are having an awesome time. If you're watching, they are in Ireland. Looking forward to getting them back. Jim McCune's gone. Les and Delilah are back in Virginia. So, okay, so everyone's got one, so no one needs one. Are we rolling, Danny? Are we rolling, Claude Rains? Yes. I have come to do your will. That's where we're at here. We're in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's pray and ask for God's blessings before we go any further. Lord God Almighty, Lord, we come to you once again in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray and we ask you for wisdom, insight, understanding, and knowledge here today. Draw close to us. Speak to us where we know that you speak. We're tuning into your frequency here now. We listen for your voice. Speak to us through the pages of Scripture. Lead us and guide us. We pray for those that are going to be hearing, listening in on the radio. Unbeknownst to them is that our church family is praying for them now. We pray you do a great work in everyone who tunes in here on the radio and those that are watching on YouTube later. Do an awesome work outside of these four walls. And we praise you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now we're starting chapter 10 in our book of Hebrews. That's where we're at. So again, let's recap a little and see what we've learned. At least from last week. Now, chapter 8, verse 8, it says, behold, in other words, check this out. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 13, in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. All right, so what does all that mean? Simply put, the new covenant replaces the old covenant if you are Jewish. If you're a Gentile, then it's even simpler still. The New Testament or the new covenant is your only covenant. You have no old, only new, only Jesus. There is no old wineskins for you if you're not Jewish. There's only new. And as for you here, and as here are your two choices. The Lord Jesus said, those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Those are your two covenants, darkness and light, or marvelous light even, darkness or light. Now, the Greek word for covenant is the word diatheke. A covenant is an agreement. An agreement between God and himself. There's no one else left to make an agreement with other than himself. Or we could say an agreement between the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in this agreement, he declares what the agreement is, all right? In this new agreement, new covenant, he declares what the agreement is, and it's this. It's whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the new covenant between Almighty God and you. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's his new agreement with you. Not of works. Faith on your part and blood on his. That's good news for us. I don't know how good it was for him. Sure ended up being good news, didn't it? Is there anyone that learned more than Jesus? to lean not on your own understanding, to cry out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And look at the end result. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now here's more of the new covenant. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the new covenant. That's the new covenant. And he continues here, Romans 10:10, with the heart one believes under righteousness. Remember, you guys have learned, when you read that word righteous, God slams down his gavel and declares you not guilty legally in a court of law. So with the heart, here's the new covenant. You're made right with God because of your faith. With the heart one believes, which inspires God to slam down his gavel and say to you, not guilty, son, daughter, enter thou into the joy of your Lord. That's in the new. That's the new covenant. With the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. And not only that, he's my Lord. Because even demons believe, the Bible says. But I'm going to confess it with my mouth. That's the new covenant. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus said, therefore, whoever confesses me, there's your new covenant. Whoever confesses me, not whoever puts money in the offering plate, not what goes on the Day of Atonement, because in the new covenant, there's one Day of Atonement. He has once for all made a sacrifice for our sins. The priest is still standing. The Lord Jesus is sitting down. He's standing no more. He is sitting now. The new covenant is this. Whoever confesses me before men, everyone I've baptized in this church will give the same testimony. Is that or is that not what we do back here? That's how we do baptisms at this church. Whoever confesses me before men and women, him or her, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. So that's the new covenant. The old covenant between God and the Jewish people contained sacrifices for sins year after year after year after year. The high priest stood up. Our high priest has sat down. Next time he stands up, it's going to be, remember, he said, I stand at the door. The next time he stands up, it's going to be to invade this world and come back again. And we learned last week, he's coming back again to everyone who what? Everyone who has my chiropractor on their speed dial. Everyone who's looking for him. Maybe he doesn't mean what he says when he says that. He says that's who he's coming back for. Or everyone who eagerly awaits him. Now, in chapter 9 of Hebrews, the author talked about the old tabernacle, which was a copy of the original, which is in heaven. God gave Moses the blueprints to build it. Hebrews 9:11, it says, Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. In Hebrews 9:12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption, and I would add, for you. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus. I need some of that. How about you? Ain't nothing like having your conscience cleansed from a whole bunch of dead works out here, right? Everything that we did for ourselves is dead works. Only what's done for Christ will last. Cleanse my conscience, that means that God has amnesia with his sins, and he's going to give me amnesia for nigh on 30 some odd years that I wasted in Paul's name. In Paul's name, I do this. Amen. Thank God, he says, he's going to purge my conscience. And it'll make it be like when my wife asked me to take the garbage out. My conscience is purged 5 minutes later. I keep forgetting to do these things. Well, thank God he's promised he's going to purge my conscience of all these dead works that I've done. Verse 15, now for this reason, he is the mediator, that's the go-between, right? Like Moses was. He is the mediator of the New Testament, or a new covenant, by means of death. That is, someone had to die. Someone had to die for this to be enacted. By means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, so that those who are called, you see, again, you've got to be called, no matter what book you're in, you've got to be called for this. So that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. In verse 22, we read about the significance of blood. It says, according to the law, that would be Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. That's nothing new to talk about blood. So according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Again, he's using their own book, the Old Testament, to prove to these first century Jews that the remission of sin involves blood. It always has. Nothing's changed. The only thing that's changed is the Lord Jesus has, by one offering, perfected forever all of us that are being sanctified, and he sat down. His sacrifice was better. That's the whole idea of the book of Hebrews. Everything is better with Jesus. Everything. So without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Lastly was verse 28 here. Hebrews 9, 28. It says, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Well, that would be to as many as received him. The offering is the invitation is for all the whosoever wills out there. That's up to you. That's your choice. So he's going to bear the sins of many. He's not going to bear the sins of all. It's available for all, but you've got to receive that. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, or the King James Version says, to those who look for him, shall he appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. All right, let's move on now to chapter 10. Verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. So look at that here. Only the blood of Christ can make an atonement for your sins, and everyone else's sins for that matter. Because as we read in verse 2, the blood of bulls and goats, that if the blood of bulls and goats was sufficient, then they would no longer keep sacrificing them year after year. All right, verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. That's just like the Hebrew Day of Atonement. How sad is that? Year after year after year after year after year, Someone has to pay the price for your sins. A day of atonement, year after year? We just read in 9:26, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sins by the sacrifice for himself. That word for put away means to abolish or disannul. He has abolished our sins once and for all. The Lord Jesus has destroyed sin once and for all by dying for sin as a sacrifice. Verse 4, for it is not possible. Look at that. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Or we could read, it is not possible that the Old Testament sacrifices that could take away sins. Here's a note I wrote 10 years ago. I just found an old Bible. Animal sacrifices did not offer true atonement, but they were the means God appointed that allowed him to pass over the sins of Israel, knowing those sins would one day be dealt with by the atonement and the mediation of Christ, Romans 3:25. This note from Warren Wiersbe: the Old Testament priest stands daily, but Christ has sat down. The Old Testament priest offered the same sacrifices often. Christ offered one sacrifice once, and that was himself. By one offering, God is given a right standing that is perfected forever to everyone out here who will believe and receive. Verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. All right, now that's Psalm 40, but only if you have a copy of the Greek Old Testament. That one's not in your Bible. Now, I encourage you, read that sometime in your own studies. Read Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, and compare it to what this man just quoted. Man, they do serious harm to that change in that Bible. Your Bibles, if you went back and read your Bibles there, it says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. But here it says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Capital M. Verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come, and the volume of the book is written of me. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. So I have come, he said, it's written about me here in the book by David 1,000 years before the time. I have come to do your will, he says. That's why Jesus left his position and came down here to do the will of his heavenly Father. And what was the will of God? The Apostle Paul tells us, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing or not counting their trespasses against them. That's 2 Corinthians 5:19. And that was the will of God. Reconciling the world back to himself. Can you see that? In other words, God says, I'll take you, 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 you. I'll take you, I'll take you, and I'll take you. That's good news. And then he's flicked on the switch on the inside of you. And now, because God's flicked your switch, now you know that Jesus is real. Because he's got to flick that switch on the inside of you. Otherwise, you'll be just like the other 5 billion people out here in the world. They killed him for saying God so loved the world. Man, oh man, God's got to flick that switch on the inside of you. He's flicked that many times on the inside of me. When I was dating the wrong girl, he flicked the switch. She probably still hates me to this day. Man, oh man, God's got a way. He flicks the switch, you see. And then it's like, oh man, I'm in the wrong situation here. And then, unbeknownst maybe to you, same thing happened with my current wife. You see, after my wife had passed away, I was scared to get involved again, and I broke up with her. And God gave me such a beating that night. The worst whooping I have ever had spiritually in my entire life. I think I asked her to marry me a few days after that. Because then he flicks the switch the other way. That's what he does. He flicks the switch on the inside of you. When you're doing something wrong, or if you need correction, or if you're doing something right, you get blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. He flicks the switch as well for good there. Now, Jesus came so that he could reconcile you back to God the Father. When he says, behold, it's written about me in the book. David wrote it 1,000 years ago. I have come to do your will. And that was the will of the Father, that he was going to be in Jesus, reconciling you back to him through him. And the thing that separated you and him was sin. Someone's got to pay the price. Now, we read in the book of Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, someone's got to die to pay the price. Somebody has to die. And the person and the one who died is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now, apparently, he brought his own blood to the original tabernacle, not the copy, but he presented it in the original. Said to purify the things that are in heaven. I don't understand it. And that was the will of God. And how did he do it? Well, we just read it again in the last chapter. By his blood, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The remission of sins. The will of God the Father was that the Son had to die. And the Son says, behold, I have come to do your will. No matter the cost, no matter the cost, I've come to do your will. So starting today, this is what I pray for you, and this is what I pray for me. Can you make that declaration? I have come to do the will of God. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Can you make that declaration here today on this 16th day of June, year of our Lord 2025? That you are going to spend the rest of your time here on terra firma like what Jesus said and do the will of God. Can you make that declaration? I mean, it's true, and that's why you're here today, but can you make that declaration? I am here to do your will. Oh God, are you able to say that here today? No matter the cost, I'm here to do your will. No turning back. No turning back. All right, now here's verse 12. It says, but this man, capital M, speaking of Christ, obviously. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. So Jesus has made one offering, and that, of course, being himself. Then he sat down. Like I said last week, there's nothing left for him to do except return. That's the only thing left is him coming back. He's waiting on you now, by the way. He's waiting on you. He's not waiting for anything but you. He's waiting on you to fill these seats in the kingdom. Your obedience to my sermon title is what fills these seats. How do you respond? Will you do his will? He's waiting on you. Until then, he personally has sat down. Now, maybe you guys think I'm crazy, but that's what it says in the Bible. If Peter says that we can hasten, that means speed up the day of his return. So maybe when he said he doesn't know when he's coming back, where's that in the Bible? Mark 13:32. Maybe he really meant what he said when he said that. He says, no one knows. He said, I don't even know. Maybe because that's dependent on you and me. Filling up these seats. Not so much in Island Community Church, but it starts here in Island Community Church. There's a number of seats known only to God. And once that last seat comes, man, oh man, you better look out. Because that is when the door is going to be closed. And people, it's Luke 13:24. Many will try to get in. And they will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door and you begin to knock at that door, he's going to say, nope, it's too late. Now he's waiting on you and me. If we fall in line here and be like what Jesus said, behold, here I am. Behold means check this out. Here I am. I am here to do your will. I mean, good Lord, I'm 62 years old. How many more years can I have? I want to spend the rest of this time, whether it's 40 years, doing the will of God. How about you? How about you? Man, I put the news on this morning, and that just, I was reading on my computer, and that just made me sick to my stomach. And God's impressed on me, man, stay away from that news and focus on me. Nothing good can come out of this stuff on the news. Nothing good. You're either upset or you're upset. Those are your two choices if you watch the news. You're upset or you're upset. But yet God says, behold, I'll show you a more excellent way. We fight the evil in the world by offering the love of Jesus Christ to people. That's our weapon. That's our weapon. Now, Jesus is waiting. Waiting until the day his enemies are under his feet. The Apostle Paul wrote, he says, he must reign until he's put all enemies under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15:25. All right, verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That would be you, by the way. Not two offerings, one offering. Jesus has made you perfect, even for the sins you're going to commit tomorrow. He's already paid the price for them. By one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. I love the way the New King James reads here. It says, by one offering, again, that being himself, by one offering, and that being his life, his blood, because it's the blood that makes the atonement for the sins. It's the blood that pays the cost. It's the blood that redeems. By one offering, Jesus has perfected forever you. That's good news. You, Christian, are saved and redeemed and perfected forever. There was one day of atonement for you Christians, and it was on the cross. There's not another day of atonement. There's one. Jesus is sitting down now, and by golly, he's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. We can hasten the day of his return by what we do, by you standing up like Jesus did and say, behold, I've come to do your will. I've come to do your will. Jesus dies no more. He will not die again. He won't shed blood anymore. By one offering, he is perfected forever. Those who are sanctified, but better yet, those who are being sanctified. That word's a participle. It's a word with ing on the end of it. Like bicycling, eating, sleeping, snoring. Or a politician waffling, lying. Boy, we could stay here till 3 or 4 o'clock. We want to go down there. Lying, right? I got to write these down. Now for us, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Meaning that that part of your Christian life is still ongoing. The redeeming part was one time. Now he sat down. The being sanctified is ongoing. This is an ongoing thing. The word sanctify is the Greek word hagiazo, where the word holy comes from. Proper name, hagios pneuma, Holy Spirit. That's what sanctified means, to be set apart. It means to be set apart for God for a special use. Set apart by the Master for a special use. Like I said earlier, I'll take you back there, Ron, I'll even take you. You, I'll take all of you. Or as they say in Jersey, I'll take all of yous. To be set apart. The Bible says, not that you are sanctified, but that you are being sanctified. You're being sanctified. Now, both God and you naturally have a part to play in this. If you're being sanctified, you see, something is required of you. Something is required of you. First is your part. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. God says, the Apostle Paul quotes, he says, therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. All right, so here's the commandment, and that is, come out. Come out from among this evil world, he says, and be ye. That's the command, catch that, the be ye. That's an imperative. Come out of this world. God says, if you do this, then I will do this. Touch not the unclean thing, that is living a life full of deliberate sin and rebellion and worldly, ungodly living. Come out from among them, he's saying. Don't do that. And if you do this, that is walk away from this stuff, then I will do this, he says. And that is paralambano. John 14, 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will, paralambano, I will receive you under myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. He says, if you do this, then I will do this. The Apostle John put it this way. He said, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that would be gimme, gimme, gimme. The lust of the eyes, that would be I want it and I want it now. And the pride of life, that is I am better than sliced bread. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. The world is passing away in the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Now, what do you know? We're back to where we started this sermon, aren't we? And that was totally unintentional. when the Lord led me here to this verse. He that does the will of God abides forever. Again, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. All right, so how else can I be sanctified? That's one. He's calling us out of this evil world. It's hard now as we got to live in this evil world, but yet not get infected by the virus that this world contains, because it's got a virus. It's a deadly virus. How can I live in it and not be infected by it? Second thing is Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That is, here I am, Lord. Behold, I'm here to do your will. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. There's that word again. A set apart, sanctify. The word sanctify and holy is the same word. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, meaning he's not asking anything unreasonable from you. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye, right, transformed. Be ye transformed. Metamorphe is the word, to change forms. Just like the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. It says he was transfigured before them. Same Greek word. Look what happens to you when you walk like this with God. When you say no to this evil world and yes to him, something happens to you in the spiritual that you just can't see. You see, something happens. It transforms you more into this image of Christ. We're going to get to our examination here in just a second. But the command first is don't be conformed. Don't be conformed. Don't be like some kind of shapeshifter out here. And you're going to squeeze into this world mode. Mold. Or mode. Do you love what God loves? Do you hate what God hates? Is sin still sin to you? Should a man be able to marry his cat? Should a Marine wear a dress if he's a man? Ed, I ask you that one. Don't think so, huh? So there's the command. This falls on you. This is your part in all this. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You are further sanctified by what you put into your mind. And God works together with you as you do this. Matter of fact, he's doing it right now as you're sitting in here today, right here where you sit. This book, your Bible, is supernatural. An awesome miracle of transformation takes place when you open up this book, read and soak in its pages, and meet with God. Something happens to you in the spiritual. We're going to have our examination again in a second. Just going to take a minute. God said this to Joshua. He says, this book of the law, meaning all of his Old Testament, all that he had, this book of the law, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may observe to do all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That's Joshua 1:8. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay. And the evidence that all of this is happening to you. Four things. The evidence that this is happening to you, what is? That you're being sanctified, that God's doing his awesome work in you. How can you tell? Number one, you start resembling the Lord Jesus more and more, and you start to care more about the things of God than about all the other stuff. good. This is what I want to see. This is what I pray for all week. Lord, will show us where we're at, and the power to change would be present when we miss the mark. We all miss the mark. But what good is it if the power to change is not going to be present? You start resembling the Lord Jesus more and more. And you start to care more about the things of God than about all this other stuff. Number two. That's why I asked Darren Sharon to sing this song. The things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Is that you? The things of this world will grow strangely dim. Number three, I guess this is another song. Johnny Cash sings this one. You feel more like a pilgrim just traveling through this wearisome land. How are you guys doing so far? You 0 for 3? 3 for 3? There's no shame to admit you're 0 for 3. We'll make it right today. Number four, the things that you used to have a taste for have no appeal for you any longer. We'll stop here for the week. How are you doing with that list? That's my question today. How are you doing with that list? Is this evidence against you? Or is it describing some other Christian? So let me read it again. You start resembling the Lord Jesus more and more, and you start to care more about the things of God than the things about this other stuff. Are you guilty of that or innocent? Number two, the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Where is your heart at this morning? The Lord Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Number three, you feel more like a pilgrim just traveling through this wearisome land. Do you feel that this is not your home? Deep down in your inner core of your being, do you feel like a pilgrim out here today? Or are you just going to die with this world because you just love this world? Number four, the things that you used to have a taste for have no appeal for you any longer. Let me ask, have your taste buds changed? Have your taste buds changed? If all four of these evidences are not evident, if all four of these evidences are not evident, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with you. We've got a problem. We've got to fix it. God wants to fix the problem. If you find yourself, say, number two and three, you see, problem number two and number three are world-related. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone, it says the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If anyone loves the world, he says the love of the Father is not in you. So there's the problem for the most part is right there. Is this infected world like a leech has latched itself onto you. And praise God, Jesus is in the unlatching of leeches business. That's what he does. He unlatches leeches. Number four, if that's the problem here, if number four is the problem, then let's get baptized. Because that's what he does. Am I right? Does he or does he not change our desires or not? How many times have you given that testimony to me? When we try to do things on our own, sometimes we just fail. But thank God, He is the one who changes our desires.
Yes.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise Your holy name in this house. We exalt You, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your great love. Lord, sometimes we fall short of this list. We come to you right now in honesty. Help me. Help me where I fall short. Fix these broken places in me. I want to answer yes to all of these. I pray, we pray that you would do only that you can do. Change my desires and help me to